Good evening. It is a joy to be here with Chantal. I've been here before, just visiting and passing, but I have spoken some of the sister churches that you have here in town. But it's a joy to be with Chantal this evening. Chantal, will you stand and greet people? Just wave to them. Someone said, "Oh, you have a beautiful wife." And I said, you should have seen the cow I gave to her parents. I've seen all the time that here, people tend to show you the ring, right? And when we are home, people want to know the kind of cow you gave to the parents. So you tell them how beautiful the cow was, but also we do show the ring, because the parents have to have something. They won't take the ring, but they can take a beautiful, beautiful cow. And I used to work with a friend, and I told her first that she was doing early childhood. And I said to her, you know, it was the time the book on emotional intelligence came out. Remember that book? And so I told her, and I said, you know, this is a wonderful book. This is a nice book. I like to read this book because it talks about emotional intelligence. And I also learned when I was very young that cows have good emotional intelligence. And she didn't believe me, and she laughed at me until she came to Rwanda, and we ordered a cow dance for her. So if you want to come to Rwanda, visit us, we can make sure that you get treated to a cow dance. Has anybody seen a cow dance in Rwanda? No? You have not seen traditional dance in Rwanda? Oh, you have to come. You have. The traditional dance, since you have seen it, my friend Jonathan, when the ladies do their arms like this, they are just imitating the cow horns, because they are the long horns, and sometimes they imitate how the cow walks also, because a cow is the highest prized value in the tradition of Rwanda. Well, I'm from that country of Rwanda, and the country of Rwanda is a beautiful country. It is a country that is in the... some time back I was speaking, and I was with a missionary who had been in Africa, and he tried to introduce himself where he was working. And so he stood and he said, if you can think of Africa as almost a person standing like this, that part being the West African part, and then he said, you can see this part and that part being the Horn of Africa, and he said he was from that hot and humid, stinky part of Africa, and he happened to mention that it was Rwanda. And I was speaking after him, though I had not been in Rwanda, seen how beautiful Rwanda was. I said, no, sir, Rwanda is at the heart of Africa. So Rwanda is at the heart of Africa. Rwanda is a country that has emerged from the ashes of the genocide after 1994, where 1 million people were killed in 100 days. Rwanda today is a country that has come to be known as the cleanest country in Africa. It is a country that has come to be known as the least corrupt of Africa. It is a country that has come to be known as a country that has made some significant advancement or achievement in areas of its economy, health, education, and you name it. It's a country very small, the size of the state of Maryland, but very much known to the world today, not only for the genocide, but also for the recovery from the genocide. And we attribute that to God's glory and to God's grace to the people of Rwanda, to the reconciliation program that is taking place and has taken place and continues to take place, to the openness to the gospel that is happening in that country, both at the village level and also at the leadership level. We do have, once a month, a gathering of leaders where most leaders will come for prayer and a Bible study. So we thank God for what is happening in that country. God blessed us with 3 children. Our oldest is 27. She works for an organization called Bruco, but she promotes Compassion International, an organization that I worked with and spent 18 years in different parts of the world. And the last 5 years of my work of compassion in Africa. The second child is trying to get into movies, but right now he's in Virginia Beach, but was in LA for a number of years, lost his girlfriend to a motorcycle accident, and that sent him through some difficult time, but he's recovering and ready to go back to LA probably in January to try to continue on. Our youngest is Eddie. He's a big guy who wants to make sure that I know that he's taller than me, so always tend to stand with his arm over my shoulder. He's 6'9". He's 270 pounds. He's about skateboard player. And I understand now he's telling me that some people are talking to him that still has 2 years of eligibility to play in and some people are talking to him about possibilities of playing football in graduate school. So we'll see how that goes. And we thank God for those children that were born here in the States when we were going to school. They had not lived in Africa but visited. So if you hear them speak, you will not associate them with my accent, but yours, but I forgive you for that. It is a joy, like I said, to be here. We are from the Shira Diocese. The Shira Diocese is a diocese that has about 42 parishes, and these 42 parishes, each one of the parishes has anywhere from 5 to 8 chapels. When we call them chapels, it's just that they don't have an ordained priest, and they don't have a house for the pastor, and they don't have a garden for the pastor, and they don't have trees so that the pastor can get firewood when he needs firewood. And that would be what would qualify them to be a parish. If they have admitted those standards, then they can write it to the bishop and request that we give them an ordained priest to take care of the parish, even though sometimes we are short of them. So these chapels are guided by catechists or people who have at least had some level of introduction to what we call TEE, theological education by extension. Out of those 42 parishes, we actually have 325 local congregations. And that 25 churches were planted in the last 2 years since we have been in the diocese, Chantal and I. We also got a vision. The Lord gave us a vision. And He gave us a vision for the children. And maybe it's because I had spent 18 years of my life working with children all over the world, Latin America, Africa, and in Asian countries, and here in the States. But when we went to where we are, it's up north of the country, by the way. If you ever want to come to see the mountain gorilla, that is the place. That was a little commercial. You are not supposed to say that in church, but you can come. But the reason I'm saying that is because you can also see me and I don't charge. While the gorillas will charge you $700 to see them. So cheaper to see and more handsome than the gorillas. But we are in a rural area, in some villages. And this is a place where elementary school are not necessarily in every community. You have to walk to go to an elementary school sometimes. And walk 2 kilometers, 3 kilometers, 4 kilometers to start a school. So you can imagine children who start grade 1 sometime wait until they are a little older in order to be able to walk to the school. And as a vision that the Lord gave us was as we traveled into the villages and realized that in the villages, children tend to be unattended in front of their homes or their parents' home with a house closed when the parents are up working in the garden. And so when the Lord gave us this vision, we said every one of our congregation will open doors Monday to Friday for the children ages 3 to 6 to come and be in safe hands of people who love them, be in the hands of the church, and have a holistic ministry to them. That was when we first got into the diocese. It was November, December of 2010. Let me report it to you today that we have 215 preschools. In fact, we have gotten 3 awards in the nation for having some of the best preschools in rural area, not the capital city. The capital city, they do much better than us, but we are right behind, and we want to be the best. In the diocese, we also have a school that is called Sunrise. It is a school that has 933 children. 475 of them are orphans. Many of them were orphans at the genocide. It was started right after the genocide. And today we have some kids who are not necessarily genocide orphans, but who are extremely needy and being helped by the school. But let me tell you that that school had had two graduations, and out of those two graduations, the first one, 38 students, they all passed to go to different universities, and 9 of them got private scholarship, 21 of them got government scholarship because of their performance. The second graduation was 86 students, and only one didn't pass to go to university, and now we have 6 students who have been granted scholarships in the U.S. universities. We have one at Penn State. We have another one at Northwestern in Chicago. We have 2 in Chapel here. We have 2 in Oklahoma Christian University. And those children are doing well. So if you have a university and you want some students and you want some different cultures, you are welcome to talk to us and we will get you some students and God will bless you and bless them. We also had a student who was accepted at Chote Rosemary School in Connecticut that someone is doing like this. Maybe they want to know the school. That young girl, she came and spent 3 months, few weeks there. I think it was 5 weeks of summer school. And when she came back, I said, Georgette, so what was your experience? She said, when I first got there, I would talk and people would not hear me. And sometimes the teacher would purposely do like this so that I can talk a little louder. Will you believe that after those weeks in Connecticut, Georgette came back to Rwanda and she went to her school. And Sunrise, 3 weeks ago, became the number one school in the nation in national debates. And get who won the debate? It was Georgette, the girl who could not be heard. And she is a strong debater now. In fact, she's coming back to attend grade 11 and 12 at Chote Rosemary. They have given her a scholarship. We invite you to come and see what the Lord is doing with us. Now, it sounds like I have preached, and maybe I need to get now into the sermon. My message tonight or this evening is something that I strongly believe in, that each one of us has been called to serve in one way or another. That we are here for a mission. What we have read in the Gospels, we have a metaphor there. And the metaphor talked about the vineyard. It also talked about the dresser of the vineyard. It also talks about the branches. And we are told that this vineyard is a true picture, is an example, is a metaphor that talks about Jesus Christ, our Savior. We are also told from reading in the scripture that the branches are the believers. And we are told that the vine dresser is God. And as so we are told about this and we read, it actually says that this vineyard has some branches. And these branches, some of them bear fruits, others are not bearing fruits, and others are bearing much fruits. So there are different types of fruits. Actually, it doesn't say that others are bearing much fruits, but I will get to that a little bit later. And so it says, abide in me and I in you. And I believe that this is the branches abiding in the vine so that they can have life, so that they can have an inflow in order to have an outflow. Abide in me and I in you. Jesus saying, abide in me and I in you. Do you have cell phones here? Yeah? You have cell phones, right? Except that you didn't bring them to church tonight. I am actually starting to like a laptop or whatever those small computers that you carry. But I like a desktop much better for what I'm going to talk about. My laptop at home, I tend to disconnect it and go to work. When I go to work, I connect it again. When I go home, I disconnect it again. And sometimes I leave on the table and I forget and it runs out. You don't do that, do you? Same thing with my cell phone. But my laptop at home always stays connected to the power, and the juice is always flowing, and I don't have to even remember, oh, I didn't switch off, I didn't do this, and stays connected. I love it when you are in Africa and you happen to be in a church that has power and people have come and they don't have electricity in their homes, and the first thing they do is look or where there can be a plug, and they go in with their little cell phone and plug their cell phone. Why are they doing that? They are doing that to get power. They are doing that so that they can receive calls or even make calls. I think it is the same thing with our lives as believers, as Christians, that we have to stay connected for the juice that we get from Jesus Christ, for the power that we get from there, for the inflow that we get from there, so that we can have an outflow. Abide in me, and I in you. That abiding is staying and remaining connected to the source of power that makes us fruitful as believers. And does say that the vine dresser looks at these branches, and those that are not bearing fruits, he cuts them and gathers them and burns them. And those that are bearing fruits, he prunes them so that they can bear fruits and bear much fruits. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you that God has a master plan. And in that master plan that God has, he has you in mind. You have been chosen. You have been appointed. God, as a believer, God has you in mind as one of his agents who should go. If you stay connected, if you have that juice, if you have that power, if you have known him as your personal savior, he has you as a person who is an agent of his mission, of his master plan, of going and bearing fruits, of bringing forth fruits and much fruits. We must be fruitful as believers. Life can be meaningless if you don't have a mission in life. You will be lost. Many people who are there just wandering, not knowing why they are here, they are the most miserable people, even if they are the wealthiest people you have ever met. But people with a mission, people with a raison d'etre of where they are, they are the happiest people, because they know why they are alive, why they are here on this world. For a believer, a meaningful life is one that brings praise and honor to the one who has given his life for us, so that we could experience eternal life even now. It is not by accident that you and I are here. It is because God has a plan for our life. God has a master plan, and he wants you to be part of it. Now, it is very easy if you are in Africa for people to say, forgive me, I'm not a trend. Forgive me, I don't have this. We start with all kind of excuses. Oh, the priest has not asked me. I come every Sunday, but they don't even know I am there. They have not given me opportunity to serve. Maybe maybe you take it upon yourself too, to say, where can I be of help? It is not that you have to go to seminary. It is rather whatever the talent, whatever the gift, whatever the ability that God has given you that will serve the church. And so when you look into your experience, into where God has taken you, maybe you look back and it is almost like a little toolbox and you flip and you flip and you say, oh no, one time I did this and I was good at it and this can benefit the church. This can benefit the kingdom. And you are the most gifted, talented people that I have met on the planet, especially here in the U.S. There are many who are singing. If it was in Africa, I would have gotten up and danced a little bit. So come and join us. But what is interesting is that when God calls us, He also empowers us to do that which He has called us to do. I look back and look at Chantal and myself and look at the ministry that the Lord has given us and being in Africa and realizing that over 27 years of my life I spent it in parachurch organization. Campus Crusade, Christian Aid, business down in Charlottesville selling used clothing and shoes. Later on with Compassion International for 18 years and now I'm in a diocese. Where does that administrative, that leadership, that management serve me in the diocese? You better believe it. It does serve me. God has given you some gifts. And God is calling you as a part of the branch to go, and in that going is winning the souls. Mark 16:15. Go into the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Matthew 28:19-20. Go make disciples of all nations, teaching them and baptizing them. It doesn't exclude anybody. And the beauty is that God promises that He is with us wherever we go and wherever He sends us. The Great Commission is not just for some, but is for every believer. Many Christians have turned Christianity into a me-centered type of religion, rather than being outward, rather than focusing outward, we have become more and more me-centered, inward focused, and I think that God is not happy with us. Yes, He wants us to be connected. Yes, He wants us to be in our faith, but He also wants us to be instrument and general blessing of bringing others into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Therefore, go and make disciples. As believers and disciples, we are challenged to bear fruits. What the Lord desires of His disciples, you and me, if we have given your life to Christ, is your hearts. And is your hands. And with your hearts, He wants to cleanse you. He wants to prune. He wants to remove those obstacles that may prevent you from being an effective Christian in His ministry, even living a Christian life, and cleanse you. With your hands, He wants to send you out and work. He wants you to abide in Him. He wants you to remain connected. He wants you to produce. He wants you to be productive. Bearing fruits is a mark of our discipleship, according to John 15:8. And by this, my Father is glorified, and so proved to be my disciples. To be disciples, we must bear fruits. To bear fruits, we must abide in Christ. And to abide in Christ, we must keep His commandments. It sounds like a math equation. But true. Bearing fruits is manifested in many different ways. For you, it may be to befriend that person who is lonely, who needs a friend, who needs somebody to be there, and sometimes somebody's shoulder to cry on. And that person may say, that is what I needed. Why is this person different from me? For another, it may be helping a needy person. Downtown, or in Africa, or in another place. And that may be the door that he needed to come into the kingdom and receive, to come and receive Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. For many of us, it may be just to live the Christian life that attracts people and gives them no room to say, if being a Christian is like being so and so, I have nothing to do with it. But rather attract them to say, I want what you have because I don't have it. Bearing fruits leads to fulfilled life. Winning souls brings joy. Sharing with others produces happiness. We don't have the time, and therefore I want to stop there. But let me tell you that in order to bear fruits, and fruits that will remain, we have to remain connected also. We have to disciple. We have to mentor. We have to teach. May God bless you as you ponder on those words. May God make you the salt and light of your community. May you be the person that the next door neighbor needs, especially during this time of Thanksgiving, Christmas coming. May you be the person who will be and make a difference in the life of another. Let us pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you for this wonderful time that you have given us. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to share from my heart and from your word. I've done my job, Father, and I pray that through your Holy Spirit, you will get the message down to the hearts of these people. Thank you for their love. Thank you for their willingness to listen. Minister to us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.